Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is that time of year, coldest night of the year in the Mica Walk every year, and that is what we're going to talk about this morning. Back with us, Joe Claire and Megan Cotter this morning. Good morning. Good to have you guys back.
Good morning.
Morning. Good to be here.
We have done this now. This is, what, year four?
Year four. Coldest night.
Yeah. I remember, and I still remember because I had never heard of it, Jill. And you came up to me at an event we were at and told me, hey, we'd like to come in and talk about it. I had no idea what you were talking about.
Nobody did when it was new, because it started in Canada years and years and years ago. But it's only been in the U.S. for a few years now. This is the fifth year in this country. So we were an early adopter.
We talked about it. You didn't know, especially that first year when we did these shows. We were just like, we hope people, you know, want to come out. And then that first year, Megan, it was just... You have set a high standard. I mean, you have set a the highest standard in the country.
You could sneeze
if you have to.
Yes. We have been 3 years running now. We've been the number one in the country in money raised and walkers.
Right.
And, you know, so far this year we're tracking ahead of where we have been in previous years. And we're really counting on the community to come out and help us hold that title, and also raise money for Mica. It's a really fun community event. I think that a lot of people look forward to. And
it is.
We have lots of other places, particularly in Virginia, that are trying to give us a run for our money. So we would really love for the community to help us continue to show the nation. Maybe even the continent. what a really wonderful place to live, Fredericksburg is.
Well, it is, and you just see so many ages, and every year it has been cold. It's not like you've never had a mild night.
Not yet. We could hope for this year.
Yeah. but no, it's such a great visual. Mm-hmm. To see the community come together, everybody gathers together at Riverfront Park, and then walks, and it's really a sight. Mm-hmm. Once you get going. And I know, I remember that first year for you guys, it really was just we don't know, and we were afterwards talking to you. It was encouraging and surprising.
It was, I mean, borderline emotional, I think, for us. That first year, we were planning to do it initially at the Methodist Green, that tiny little green space at Fredericksburg United Methodist. That, remember, we originally thought we would be there.
No, I didn't know that was...
Yeah, and then as people were signing up and as it was exploding, we were like, oh, we got to find a bigger space. So that first year was just constant scrambling, like making sure we could accommodate the support that people were showing us they wanted to give us. It was stressful and inspiring and crazy and amazing. I mean, and then that first year at Her Camp, we were at Her Camp that first year, and just everyone showing up. And launching folks out of the park, Clay and I were like, oh, we did it.
Right.
You know, we had more than 500 people that first year. And just seeing everyone show up to support the work that Mike is doing was so validating for what we've been doing with our neighbors experiencing homelessness, to for the community to demonstrate how much they support our work was... You know, we got kind of teary-eyed.
Yeah, no, I remember being under the tent and everything. And you looked, I just remember at one point looking back and seeing, and it was one of those big tents, seeing it was just packed.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, it was, we're never going to do a tent again because we can't find a tent big enough to fit all the people at this point. But fill in that tent, and an event tent, not the kind of tent that our neighbors like have to spend nights in, you know, filling that tent with 500 people, that solidified for us that like, oh, Fredericksburg loves this event. Like this is ours and we will keep doing this.
Well, and then the last 2 years at Riverfront Park, I just remember, especially last year, looking around, and it really was a cold night, and it was a little bit breezy, and I remember just seeing everybody there, and Megan, you always give a little talk, and to see everybody just focused on you, and I just remember thinking this is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, and it doesn't matter the weather.
We could hit 1,000 walkers. This year,
because it was about 800 last year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, the way we're tracking with people signing up, I mean, you know, it would be really cool to hit that milestone and, like, technically outgrow Riverfront Park at that point. So, you know, it's this really, there's a lot of potential for kind of how this thing could continue to really gather people.
And you, and last year, I think, was the first year. The last year, you kind of timed. You mean you, so everybody didn't bunch up together on the sidewalk. You kind of separated groups and tried to just, and tried to count people as they went off. So they had groups. And even then, you could, you know, look down any of the streets where you were at, and you just always saw people walking.
Yeah. You know, and I think this event is relatively symbolic of the work we do. I mean, you and I have been talking for, you know, 20 years now about, you know, various iterations of MICA as we take on different things and we explore different ways of taking care of people. And, you know, in the beginning, there was maybe like a handful of people that actually believed we could make a difference in a population that's oftentimes written off and discounted. And over the years, we've gathered more and more people, and you know, now we have a walk that literally gathers people. And every year, we gather a few more, and that's what it really takes to create a movement, and to really rally around even the hardest causes in a community. And I really think that's what we're doing, is we're creating a movement that says Fredericksburg can be a community where no one has to sleep outside. And that's what people are doing when they show up for this event, is they're standing and walking to be counted. And it's a very, very symbolic way of thinking about our work.
For the first time this year, Jill, this is what you always do for me. There's no one who does... It's a sign up. No one does the website.
All right. First time this year. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's CNOY.com/Fredericksburg. You can go there and register for the event. Read all about it. Once you register, you get your own little login so that you can start fundraising as a walker. Any walker who earns $150 gets one of the coldest night of the year beanies when you show up on event night. And it's a cool experience to see, you know, 800 beanies flooding the streets of Fredericksburg. All these folks walk in and all wearing the same hat.
And they're colorful this year.
They are very colorful.
They
have this poof on them.
The poof goes back and forth, doesn't it? Like one year you have a poof and the next year you don't.
It does. The coldest night, they tend to go back and forth on like a subdued style hat. So last year's was that dark blue with the leather patch kind of mature hat. And then the next year they do a more ostentatious kind of hat. So we're in an ostentatious year with a poof on top.
It's a great looking hat.
One year we had a hat option, poof or no poof. But this year, they're all poof.
The decisions that have to be made.
Yeah.
It's more than just a walk.
Yes, it is.
Coldest night of the year, February 28th in Fredericksburg. Jill Clare, Megan Cotter here this morning. Quick break. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Megan Cotter and Jill Claren this morning from Micah Ecumenical Ministries. Coldest night of the year is February the 28th. And the goal this year, $200,000, it was the goal last year. And I just remember as you guys tracked it, there was everybody was worried, and really, as is the case with a lot of these kinds of events, at the end, a lot of people give, but you easily broke 200,000, mm-hmm. and it's exciting. It really is exciting.
Yeah, we actually hit 200,000 the day after.
Yeah, the early morning hours the day after. Yeah, technically.
We were inching towards, like, mm-hmm. this year we're counting on, we're going to have a definitive 200,000.
Yes, day of. Or before. I'd take before.
That's right, because we talked about that, and you had said, in what the fundraising still goes on for a little bit longer.
A couple weeks mm-hmm. after, even, so.
Yeah, last year on event day itself, we took in more than $30,000 in that one day for Coldest Night. Mm-hmm. And we were almost at the goal, so close. And then the next day, I don't know, 15,000 more came in, you know, as people were wanting to contribute, wanting to be a part of.
Well, that's good. They had a great time. Yeah. And you sit around and I've done that. If you just think, I could give a little bit more.
Yeah.
And with everything going on to reach that goal, for people who aren't aware, Megan, a little bit about Mike and the great work that you do in the community, because it's so much that you do, and it's hard just to say, well, what does Micah do?
Yeah,
because like you said, over the last 20 years, you've added a whole lot of things.
We are officially 20 years old as an organization. We've been celebrating that in different ways over the last year. And in 20 years, we've moved from being an organization that helps people survive on the street, largely leaning on the many years of caring for vulnerable people that our churches in downtown Fredericksburg have championed. But we've moved from helping people survive on the street to caring for what I call all parts of human flourishing. We care for the whole person with healthcare interventions, housing interventions, income development, spiritual care. And, you know, our big goal that we are working fast and furiously on is we have land where we are building a supportive housing neighborhood off of Fall Hill Avenue, and we expect to break ground sometime this year.
Breaking ground?
Yes.
Okay.
You look surprised, Ted.
I guess I shouldn't be. I'm still in a 2025 mode, so that's probably why.
This year.
Well, that's exciting. Is long because boy, I still remember the show when you introduced this idea to me, and I think it was it Texas where you.
The pandemic was really a transformative couple of years for us because we saw with enough resources coming into this community that we could move people into socially distanced hotels. We were able to move almost everybody we knew into a hotel, including some of our very, very hard to serve that oftentimes would refuse shelter, would refuse all sorts of different interventions. And it really was a litmus test to show that you know, when housing is available and the support is there, mm-hmm. people want to come inside. And that runs against a lot of stereotypes that are out there. And so we had started looking around and at different models. A lot of times when you build supportive housing or any kind of housing, it's as efficient as possible. It's apartment buildings. It's people on top of each other, beside each other, in small units. And that's fine. It's wonderful organizations do that. But we became intrigued by the neighborhood concept that you're seeing. Community First Village in Austin, Texas is the example that is getting a lot of attention on CNN and 60 mm-hmm. Minutes and whatnot. There's another one that we've studied in Missouri, Eden Village, and there's other examples out there. But this neighborhood style of development is proving to be a better way to create an environmental design that helps people move off the street into housing, including some of the hardest to care for.
Well, and to have people there, mm-hmm. and especially to have people that even if you have neighbors that kind of speak your language mm-hmm. or are going through some of the same things you are.
Right, right.
It would seem to me be just a great model.
There is a beautiful mantra in, you know, housing and particularly affordable housing development that we should have mixed income neighborhoods. And I believe that. I also know that when we move people who have become homeless because of a catastrophic loss of relationship into scattered places, we actually take them away from an organic yeah. support system that they have, you know, that is our organization, that is other people on the street, that sometimes are the only family that they have. And we really think that we can care for people better. People will have a better better life if they are living alongside people of shared experience. And not everybody will want or need that, but for the ones that do, that have a lot of different needs that yeah. need support. It's really important that we have opportunities for that.
Yeah, no, I think there's just in the sense of it's less judgmental, especially for some, and yeah. so that there's a better chance of success then.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things that some of the experiences we've had when we move people into scattered locations around the community, as we do now, is that some of their struggles are not necessarily appreciated when they're having a mental health crisis, mm-hmm. and it looks very frightening to their neighbor who's never been homeless for good reason, and they get arrested because of that. In a place like Jeremiah Community, we'll be able to respond, support, care for that in a way that you just can't care for in a scattered way.
You've got to be just really excited just to be able to say the words, "We're going to break ground this year."
Believe it. Say it. Speak it to existence. We still have we have a lot of money to raise still, but we're about halfway there in a $17.5 million campaign. There's a lot of really wonderful community people that are coming around this. You know, we have a local architect, we have a local engineer, we have a local developer, local builder that are all really pulling their gifts and their expertise around this project to be able to help us to be successful. And I think that's really a testament to, in the same way that we're talking about the walk, it's another way that we're gathering people who have gifts in this community to help us to change the narrative and to really have a different response close to home.
And if you get involved with the walk, you can't help but walk away, literally, you know, pun intended. You'll walk away understanding much more about Micah. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the root and really how you kind of draw in
yeah.
Micah's history as we go along this morning. But you really do learn about
yeah.
Micah and just the work, the big work that you do and, yeah. and the expanding work.
And this year particularly, like, there's a lot of, I would even say, frightening things happening across the country when it comes to homelessness, people who are economically or culturally different than what's considered mainstream society.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to get caught up in the news and the things that are going wrong and how needs are not being met. But Coldest Night is really about what you know, change is always local. And so, Coldest Night is really about how people in their own community can actually make a difference, even when the ability to make a difference seems so hopeless right now.
Yeah, no, that's you do really, you get the focus off of any concerns or worries that you have nationally when you're on a walk like this. You're walk with people and you're helping a local organization, and that's what makes this so great.
Yeah, the theme this year is Across the Country, Close to Home. And so when we ask people to sign up and get involved in Coldest Night, we're asking people to come around a real solution close to the place that they live.
Was Change the Tune? Was that last year?
Oh, you remember? Yes.
Change the Tune was the theme last year.
Yeah. No, we talked about that, and then you got up, and I just remember your talk, and you. It was like every couple of sentences you would say, we're going to change. And then everybody was chanting it, and it was a great thing.
This year doesn't have that same ring. I'll come up with something for you, Ted.
I remember it was at Riverfront Park. It was Change the Tune. I just wasn't sure if it was last year or the year before. So again, Jill, to sign up for Coldest Night of the Year.
It's CNOY.com/Fredericksburg. Everything you need is on that site.
Coldest Night of the Year. It is the walk in Fredericksburg on February the 28th, Saturday, February the 28th. We'll talk about what's involved in getting teams together and what the walk is like when we come back with Megan Cotter and Jill Claire this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Micah Ecumenical Ministries, Coldest Night of the Year. The walk is February the 28th. Joe Claire and Megan Cotter here this morning. $200,000 is the goal. And so, Jill, the whole thing is you can walk as a single person, but you'll have more fun if you develop a team and get a team together. And there are a lot of teams. I was looking at the list this morning, and lots of groups. And it's not just churches. It's businesses and all kinds of people.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people, a lot of team captains signed up early this year, which is awesome. So the way that it works is, for Coldest Night, you can absolutely sign up to walk if it's just you. That's a great way to participate. I mean, let's face it, you're not going to be alone. There's going to be 800 of us or more in that park walking along with you. So you can sign up to walk by yourself. Totally fine. However, a really fun way to participate is to join a team or even start a team. So for our event, we have so many churches who have their own teams. So if you're a member of a church congregation and your church is talking about it, you can sign up on your church team. And that way you get to all walk together as a group. Mm-hmm. You guys get to motivate each other as you're fundraising before the event. You get to share tips and tricks on like how you've been able to get people to donate to support your walk. And then on event night, when you all show up, you get to walk behind your team captain who's holding your team sign with your team name on it. And it's an event where you just get to connect with people. So it's not just churches, though. There are so many teams and so many ways to get involved. Like, there's businesses who have teams. Simventions, for example, this year already has their team signed up, and they usually do a good showing with a lot of their employees joining up.
Yeah.
The Rotary does, like, a massive massive amount of support for this event. So there's a couple different Rotary teams. And for that matter, if you want to make a team of you and your book club, like, absolutely go for it. There's no rules for what a team is. And it's a really fun way to get involved with this walk.
Yeah, no, there's just all kinds of things. And you'll really make a memory. And like I say, you'll learn about mm-hmm. Micah, and you'll learn about just all the needs. Starts at, I'm trying in my head, leaves the you leave the park and you go up Sophia to Amelia. Is that where you turn?
Oh, Ted is asking me for directions. This is
because I don't know either. I'm with you. There's a couple of ways. If you don't want it, you can.
So
you can walk a shorter route if
yes,
you want.
There's two options when you sign up. There's the 5K, which is what most people sign up for. And the 5K route goes, I'm very bad at street names,
me too.
So I'm
me
not going to tell you.
I've never been writing things and trying to think
right.
as you talk.
But we got maps. You will definitely know where you're going because everybody's going the same way. And it goes up through College Heights and loops around. Our rest stop is up in College Heights. And the cool thing about the 5K route is that it walks past each and every one of our Micah founding churches. So each of our founding churches have a little tent and a little cheering squad set up outside of it. So when you're walking by one of the Micah governing churches, you know it. So that is what really sells the 5K walk. You know, it tells the story of Micah.
It does.
Micah is not just about one organization. Micah is about a lot of different churches coming together to do the most good, you know, as one body instead of nine separate congregations back in the day when we were founded. So the 5K, if you choose that one, it really tells that story. However, if you aren't able to walk a full 5K or don't want to, you can also sign up for the 1 mile option. And the 1 mile option is obviously shorter. It just does like a big rectangle just in downtown proper on Princess Anne for the most part, and then back to Riverfront. And the 1 mile option is totally a great way to participate. Whichever way you sign up for, you get the same fundraising link, you participate in the same way, you can earn your beanie by raising $150, whichever option you choose. And whichever option you choose, you come back to Riverfront Park at the end to get your hot soup and your hot chocolate, and just to hang out with us and say bye before you go home and warm up.
And there's sweatshirts, too. Are the sweatshirts gone yet?
There's still a few sweatshirts left.
It's the hurry hoodie.
There are only 100 hoodies in the whole country. So once they're gone, they're gone. But
really?
Yeah. Fundraisers who raise $500 earn a hoodie until they're gone. And there's still, the last time I looked, there were still, like, I think 20 hoodies that were unclaimed. But we have a number of Micah fundraisers who have already earned their hoodies.
Clay always wears.
Oh, yeah. Clay definitely earned. Well, Jane earns
it. Right. Well, Jane earns it for Clay.
Yes.
And we should specify Jane is, how old is she now? 12?
12, I think.
Jane is 12. And Jane has raised like $10,000 every year.
Yeah. And she's a great story.
Oh, she's amazing. And she is number one in the country right now as we speak in terms of fundraising totals. Mm. So I don't mean number one, you know, in Fredericksburg and Micah. I mean number one
nationwide
of everyone who has signed up to walk. Jane Murray has thus far raised the most money of any individual. So, I mean, that's no small thing. And she has been helping out with Micah alongside her parents since she was, like, old enough to walk, I think. You know, she's been helping serve meals at the community dinner at the Methodist Church. Scooping out ice, I think, was her big job when she was, like, very, very young.
Very, very small.
And so, it's, you know, it's that spirit of service that she's just grown up with. And so then when Micah started Coldest Night, it was a great way for her to get involved and to raise money to show support of the work that she's grown up doing. So she already has her hoodie definitely this year. Yeah. Clay sent me a picture. It's very big.
Yeah. And you know, because we keep it in the family, like my dad tries to say every year, he's going to raise more money than Jane. We mm-hmm. keep it in the family.
Yeah.
And so I would tell people, like, if you can't do Coldest Night, if you can't be involved in it, give money to Jane.
Yeah.
It's important that she stays number one.
Yeah, so she has to stay number one. Just like Fredericksburg has to stay number one.
Yeah, and that's some of the fun of it.
It is.
We had some cool, like, kind of churches, like, sparring about raising more money than one. I mean, like, the momentum and the competition in it and whatnot is also kind of a fun part of it.
Oh, I know several localities in Virginia who've picked it up. And I remember last year you all were saying they're going to do it, but they think they're going to beat
Winchester
us. Winchester is what I thought.
They're like, if you look at like the ranking right now, I think we're number one and Winchester's like right behind us. And
they're number two, yeah.
I ran into a lady from there at an event a couple years ago and she was like, "You're that community." Like, yes, we are. And so Winchester is always trying to...
That was what was so fun that first year, because you kept looking and I know, I think Coldest Night, Jill, you telling me that they were telling you that Fredericksburg had raised the most of any first year community that first year, and then you've been first in everything since.
Mm-hmm, we have, and so Coldest Night started in Canada like 15 years or more ago, so there's like a whole lot of Canadian organizations who participate, I mean hundreds. And then in the United States it grows a little bit each year. It's been here for 5 years now, and so like this year in the U.S. there are I think 76 participating organizations. So it grows a bit each year. But when we're competing, we are competing against other organizations in the U.S. And we also tend to look at how Canada's doing and see how we track against all these Canadian organizations who have a lot more experience with this event than we do. And we give the Canadian organizations a run for their money as well. Fredericksburg has grabbed on to this event and supports this event in a way that just shocked the Coldest Night event organizers, especially that first year. I mean, Fredericksburg has just grabbed onto it and made it our own and shown the country and to some degree internationally how much we as a community care about making a difference in the lives of our neighbors. Coldest Night, like the whole organization, frames itself as raising funds to combat hunger, hurt, and homelessness. So there's a whole lot of different kinds of organizations who participate, like food banks, homeless services ministries, you know, et cetera. But we, as MICA, when we're raising the money, it's to further our ongoing work with our neighbors experiencing homelessness. For stuff like the Jeremiah community that we know is just right around the corner. And the community coming together and showing up in numbers of more than 800 people, raising more than $200,000, shows us how much the community cares about the work that we're doing. And the competition with everybody else is like the added bonus fun part, because it's really cool to be winners. Like, I'm a big fan of being number one in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've learned that with Jill. Jill comes across as just, you're very soft-spoken, but very, very competitive.
It's the quiet ones you have to watch out for.
Yeah, no, we see that. But no, it really does. To be involved in something like this, in something that's big, you do really feel. And I just remember that first year talking to you afterwards, Megan. We talked about just how it really was a validation of all the work you just saw in one night. You mm-hmm. see, kind of in one night, that people really do care.
Yeah, and you really it's kind of a witness, like when you have all those people walking through downtown with their colorful hats and whatnot, and you know, it even makes people ask questions about, like, well, not just what's this event, but what's this organization? So it's just the exposure of it really makes a difference in how we can be successful in our work, because it's a fundraiser, it's a community gathering event, but it's also something that exposes people who participate or not to what we're doing to try to be a community where nobody has to sleep outside.
Well, and this does really, because we talk about it all the time, and And one of the frustrating things for any organization is to try to explain what you do, and especially for MICA, you do so many things that it's not just one thing, or somebody realize, or somebody remembers something that you did years ago, and you do so much more.
Right, and that's, I mean, homelessness is the, is, you know, kind of as far as my mind can stretch, like one of the major issues across the country that people... There's just not really, people just don't really think there's a solution to. It's just kind of the general mantra. And I think what we're showing in a very community-driven way is that there are solutions when the right people come together with the right gifts and enough people come around it to say, you know, well, maybe we don't have that solution already, but if we don't, what can we create that is a solution?
Hmm. Yeah. And just this, I think it shows, something like this just shows there's a place for everybody to get involved. And you might have an idea that being able to help, or just even to help financially.
Some of the biggest blessings that have really been a game changer for us have been people, whether they're retired or just have some spare time, that come and volunteer with us in any number of different ways. And you know, we have a fella that that retired from the immigration office as a case manager, and he volunteers at MICA every week. And and you know, he helps with all sorts of things because he has case management skills. But you know, when we have an immigration question, man, is he our go-to. You know, there's any number of different people. We have a retired doctor that comes and volunteers at our neighbor care center on a weekly basis. And so, like, those gifts that people have are not an accident. And when they allow them to be used in even some of the most hopeless places, a lot of really good can happen.
Well, I know it's a lot of work, and for Jill, it's a lot of stress. But you've gotten such a good start now when you take a look. I mean, this morning when I looked, 217 walkers, 53 teams, and we're, what, over a month away still.
Yeah, we are tracking far ahead of where we were last year. So we are really hopeful about what this is going to mean for the event in terms of number of people showing up and amount of money raised. And like to what Megan was saying, the amount of excitement around the event. There are people who I think at this point like plan their winter calendars around when Mike is doing coldest night of the year because it's become that big. When we talk about it, I tend to call it the most exciting wintertime event in Fredericksburg. And that's not quantifiable, right? What is most exciting? How do you quantify that? But I stand firm that I think this is the most exciting wintertime event in Fredericksburg. So I think people plan on it. And I think it's going to grow every year because people plan on it. People think about who they're going to invite to walk alongside them on their teams every year. People think about whether they're going to do the 1 mile like last year, or whether they're going to up it to the 5K this time. You know, people plan on this event. We have made this a Fredericksburg experience, and I think it's going to stay that way. I'm super optimistic for which is not usual for me, right? I'm usually
right.
I'm usually this like stressful little person, but this year, from how things are looking so far with early signups, I'm super optimistic about exceeding our goal this year, and all those funds just go to support our ongoing work at MICA, and so it makes, you know, the money stays local, and it makes an immediate difference in the lives of our neighbors. The folks that you'd see sometimes sleeping outside.
Yeah.
And it's probably worth saying there are still opportunities for sponsorships that are as little as $1,500 and as much as $10,000. So there's lots of different opportunities for that people can find on the website. And if they can't find it, we're happy for them to reach out to us and we'll get them connected. But it's a really good, when you think 1,000 people, your business can be exposed to that many people as a sponsor for this event.
Mm-hmm. And to sign up?
Just go to CNOY.com/Fredericksburg.
Easy as that. It's February the 28th, coldest night of the year. Walk for Micah Ecumenical Ministries. Jill Clare, Megan Cotter here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Jill Clare and Megan Cotter here this morning with Micah. Coldest night of the year is our focus. We should mention that if you want to find out besides coldest night of the year and the walk, Megan, that you can go the Micah both Facebook and website, all kinds of great information about ways to get involved with a cold weather shelter right now and just financially.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways that that people can get involved. Our website highlights the comprehensive ways that we care for people. We are also running a weekly bus tour. If somebody wants to sign up to go see it all in 2.5 hours, we take people around once a week, and we can even take your group around if you want to put a group of folks together.
What a great idea, though, to be able to see everything up close and to tell that story.
It's been a really good experience for people to be able to kind of see the whole picture and understand, like, we're not just feeding and clothing and helping people survive. We're really caring for what they need to get off the street and lead a flourishing life. So we have that opportunity as well, but lots of different information on our website. We also have, if you're interested in volunteering, first and third Fridays, we have an orientation. You can also sign up for that on our website, which is MicahFredericksburg.org. We are in the same way we are doing for Coldest Night. We actively gather and collect people to help us to work towards this vision of all neighbors having a home.
Yeah. It's Coldest Night is a great event and just a great way to learn about Mike and to participate, but this is shaping up to really be an exciting year with Jeremiah Project finally.
We have a lot to talk about.
Moving on, we do have a lot to talk about, just even besides this show. So February 28th, at 5 o'clock is when it starts.
Check-in starts at 4:00. Walk starts at 5:00.
Okay.
And we have, more than 800 people to check in, so please feel free to arrive right at 4:00 to start the check-in process. We will be ready for you.
Last Saturday in February is when this is, and so by the time it ends, and even if you do the 5K walk, it still is light when you end. It's just starting to get a little bit dusky.
It's usually dusky by the time folks are getting back, so it's safe. We should say this is a 5K walk. It's not a race. It's not a run. It is not timed. It is about experiencing the elements on a night in the winter and thinking about, as you're doing this 5K, if you didn't have a home to go to, like what it would be like to have to sleep outside. So it is a walk, not a race. Don't be intimidated. Nobody is timing you. And so then when folks are getting back, it's usually just starting to turn dark. And, you get your cup of hot soup and your cup of hot chocolate and are able to get back home before it's full dark, usually.
$200,000 is the goal this year. And hopefully the area smashes that because we've got to stay number one.
Number one in the nation.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep it.
Yeah. No, that first year when you were, that first year you just felt like, well, other communities will get involved. And this was a great way for us to kick it off. But now that we've done it for a few years.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And that first year was not a fluke. That's what we were thinking, that like this could have been a fluke.
Right.
People could have just grabbed onto it, but they might not come back the second year. But now, 4 years in, we have definitely proved that that was no fluke. Fredericksburg loves Coldest Night of the Year.
Yeah. And it really has been Coldest Night of the Year. It would be, I would be fine if I, on that night, on the 28th, if I say to you, Jill, it's not really that cold tonight.
That would be good. We can hope for that.
It's cold. It can be cold. I'm fine with coldest night of the year in name only.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
But, yeah, $200,000 is the goal, and you can get involved. And already, it's easy, and again, to go to the website and sign yourself up.
Yes. Even if you're not necessarily going to fundraise online, please do register for the event. That way we have a headcount. And you register at cnoy.com/Fredericksburg.
Again, $200,000. It is February the 28th. 5 o'clock is when the walk starts. Registration at 4 at Riverfront Park. Coldest night of the year with Micah Ecumenical Ministries. Jill Claire, Megan Cotter, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll talk again.
Yes.
See you soon. Thanks. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.